Thank you. We'll go ahead and begin at this time. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Laquelo Monthly Teleconference, taking place on Monday, the 28th of March, 2016, at 2300 UTC. On the Spanish channel, we have Marissa Aguirre, Daniel Lopez, Raul Solares, Ricardo Holmquist, Alfredo Lopez, Adrian Carbola, Philip Boland, Harold Arcos, Alberto Soto, Aida Nuebla, and Humberto Carrasco. On the English channel, we have Alan Greenberg, Vanda Scartazzini, and Leon Sanchez. Currently at this time, we have no one on the Portuguese channel. Joining us for the first time, we do have French interpretation. So on the French channel, we have Milo Pearson and Jean-Bernard Marcellius. We have apologies from Jacqueline Morris, Aline Andrade, Devin Antilexine, and Heidi Ulrich. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Albert Daniels, and myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreters today are Sabrina and Veronica. Our Portuguese interpreter today is Bettina. Our French interpreters today are Camelia and Isabel. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but also to allow our interpreters on the other language channels. Thank you very much for joining. I'll now turn it over to Humberto. Please begin.
This is Maritza Agüero. I will speak on behalf of Humberto until he can join us. And I believe Humberto is already on the call. Humberto, are you there? Hello, this is Humberto Carrasco speaking for the records. Marisa, can you hear me? Maritza Agüero speaking. Yes, go ahead, Humberto. We hear you well. Humberto Carrasco speaking. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for being late. I had some technical issues. I see that the call has already started, so Marisa, please, you can proceed. But before that, I would like to thank the fact that we have French interpretation and the fact that our ALSs from Haiti are actively participating. So I would like you to begin with the adoption of the agenda. Maritza Agüero speaking. Thank you very much. So this is Maritza Agüero for the record. In the agenda for today, this is our first call, so we have the report about the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability. This will be done by Leon Sanchez. After that, we will have a report about the GAC position on the IANA transition. This will be led by Olga Cavalli. Then we have the perspectives and activities of the NOMCOM. This will be led by Sylvia Helen. And we have received an email from Devanand. He's sending his apologies. He's not able to participate in the call due to health reasons, so we wish him to prompt recovery. And then we have a report from the ALAC members and the LAC space report by Vanda Scartazzini. Then we have a report by Haro Arcos as an ALAC member. And finally, we will have a very brief report by myself in terms of the participation in the fellowship program. And finally, there is the review and the progress of the MOU with LACNIC and the next steps, and this will be led by our chair, Humberto Carrasco. So, Humberto, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Humberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you very much for the adoption of this agenda. And I see that we have different topics to deal with today. So now I will give the floor to Leon Sanchez for him to provide us with a short summary of the CCWG on accountability. Leon, go ahead. Maritza Agüero speaking. Leon, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
And this is Terry. We are still connecting Leon on the audio. It'll be one moment longer.
Humberto Carrasco speaking. Maritza, we will wait for a couple of minutes, and if not, we can reverse the order and give the floor to Olga Cavalli first. Maritza Agüero speaking. Okay. I know Olga Cavalli, she's in Washington right now. She's there due to the Salsa School of Internet Governance that will begin tomorrow, and we will provide more references about that.
And this is Terry. We are having difficulties reaching Leanne's line on the dial-out request, but we'll continue trying. So, Olga, your line is open if you want to go ahead and speak at this time.
Terry, soy León. Ya estoy disponible.
Terry, this is León, and am I available
yes.
to speak? This is Humberto Carrasco speaking. León, perhaps you're having some technical difficulties, so if that is the case, we will give the floor to Olga first, and then I will give the floor to you, if that is okay for you. Humberto speaking, so we'll now give the floor to Olga Cavalli. This is Olga Cavalli speaking. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Humberto speaking. Yes, go ahead, please. Olga speaking. Okay, thank you very much. My name is Olga Cavalli. I would like to thank you for this invitation to this teleconference. And every time that I am invited to these kind of teleconferences, these are very interesting calls, and I stay as much as I can because I make the most of it. And I would like to congratulate Humberto and Maritza and the Lagrallo team because they are every day organizing activities that are very valuable for the community. So thank you very much for the invitation. It's an honor for me to be here. And now I will speak about our vision or our view on the document issued by the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability for the Ayana Transition. I believe it would be good to have Leon's presentation first because I wanted to speak about the from the perspective of the Governmental Advisory Committee. Leon is going to speak about the work in general. We have been working very hard with the Cross-Community Working Group for 2 years now, and I would like to highlight the great effort being made by three co-chairs. And, of course, Leon's work has been great because our region has been very well represented by his efforts. So I would like to express my thanks to the three co-chairs, but especially to Leon, because every time he came to the GAC, he was speaking in Spanish, and that made me really happy. Now, I would like to tell you about the experience of the GAC within the Cross-Community Working Group. Can we move forward? Please, next slide. Okay, there we go. So what is the GAC? GAC today has a very important participation. Every month, there are more countries who are interested or which are interested in participating. We have many, more than 160 countries and many observers. And this is an advisory committee within ICANN. This is not a supporting organization, an SO, but it is an AC. It is an advisory committee. The chair is Thomas Schneider from Switzerland, and nowadays there are four vice chairs. In the past we were five. We have Hema Campilius from Spain, Wanavit Akupuntra from Thailand, Henriquez from Namibia, and Olga Cavalli, myself, from Argentina. So we work by region, and in the last amendment that we had in our GAC rules, we intended to have a widespread representation across the regions. And now I am representing the region, and my turn will be over soon. So let's move to the other slide, please. How do we participate in the CCWG on accountability? Perhaps you already know this, but since this was a cross-community working group, there were chartering organizations. This means that certain organizations within ICANN were the creators, were the ones providing opinions and the ones issuing the document. So this was the case for the GAC. You can participate in one of these groups or not, either by being an advisory committee or a supporting organization, but in this case, the GAC was a chartering organization. so we could be part of the cross-community working groups. So we had 5 members for participating within the CCWG. In this case, internally, we decided to have representation from different regions around the world. In the case of North America, Susan Ranel was the representative. For Africa, we had Alice Munuya. She is representing the African Union from the Latin America and the Caribbean. It was myself, the representative. In Asia, we had the Niue representative. And for Europe, we have the representative from Denmark. That is for Europe. I would like to highlight here that on a daily basis, some people participated on the calls. There were not a great distinction among members and participants. In fact, the participants were actively participating. And in the CAC, we have a very active participation from Brazil, UK, Switzerland, Spain, Italy, among others. So this means that the CAC has a very important participation and representation in this activity. The GAN has a very intense activity in the review of the process, of the whole process. And finally, we decided to issue a response to the final version of the document. Here you will see a summary of the GAC's reaction to this document. Of course, as you know, the process was really complex, and there were some points that might need further clarification, but I tried to do my best to clarify and be simple. First of all, the GAC was agreed upon supporting the multi-stakeholder model. In this case, there was full consensus with other countries, and we also agreed on supporting all the bottom-up processes. The GAC reiterated its interest in participating in the post-transition phase. It reaffirmed its role as an advisory committee to the ICANN board and within the ICANN multi-stakeholder environment. The governmental advisory committee supported the whole document. You might recall that the document had recommendations, so the CAC was in favor of all the recommendations from 1 to 10 and 12. There was only one recommendation in which we were not agreed. And in the next slide, I will speak about this recommendation and why we were not able to reach consensus and agreement. Let me tell you that CAC works on consensus basis. So when we have consensus, or when we don't have consensus, we cannot say yes or no, but we should express that there was no consensus on certain topic. That's why when it comes to recommendation 11, this was the case, and we had a carve-out provision contained in recommendation 1 and 2, and we had no consensus on that, but I will explain that further on. The committee expressed its willingness to take part in the empowered community mechanism. I don't know how to translate that into Spanish, indeed, but it would be the, in English, it's the empowered community. So the GAC expressed its desire, its wish to participate in this empowered community mechanism, and this was something to decide within the GAC, how the GAC would participate within this empowered community, and we will have to decide whether this is a public policy issue or not, because sometimes this might be topics of an operational nature, and that might not be adequate for ICANN, or perhaps it's not within the ICANN's remit. So all that will be decided in the empowered community mechanisms once the transition is implemented. And finally, the GAC did not show any objection to the transition or the transmission of the proposal to the ICANN board and to the Congress of the United States. So the main objections that we faced were recommendation 11 and in certain other points that we called carve-out. And this would be a kind of limitation, to put it somehow. So when it comes to recommendation 11, these were our concerns. This was first called stress test 18. Stress test 18 as well as recommendation 11 implied changes in the ICANN bylaws. And it reads that the CAC must necessarily make decisions by consensus so that GAC advice might be taken into account by the ICANN board. But it, this goes beyond that because it expresses how the consensus should be adopted. And I put that sentence in English, which is to understand or understood to mean the practice of adopting decisions by general agreement in the absence of any formal objection. So what happened here with this kind of consensus is that for certain pieces of advice, perhaps you might recall the Beijing meeting, there was only one country opposing to, for example, 100 countries. So some countries wanted to redefine or at least have the freedom to define consensus in a different way. This, in the final document of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability, was not adopted. This was said as it is being shown here. Some countries believe that this is a limitation for the GAC, and some people believe that GAC should make its decisions as it decides, as it is done by the GNSO or the CCNSO. So our advisory committee should not have limitations in the ICANN bylaws. So that was the first and the main concern. For you to have an idea, this came up in the Dublin meeting. Most of the countries there had this feeling that there was a limitation for the GAC to decide. And since we were not able to adopt a consensus-based decision, we only said that there was no consensus on this recommendation number 11 related to stress test 18. The carve-out concept appeared at the end of the process, establishing certain limitations for the GAC in terms of participation in the empowered community in situations or cases related to the GAC. So we saw this as a limitation, and therefore we expressed our concerns. You might see there was a minority report filed by 20 countries. This was done very quickly and at short notice, so many countries were not able to participate, and this was expressed by those countries at the Marrakesh meeting. So apart from expressing this concern and the fact that there was no objection to the transmission of the proposal and the cover issue, there was no issue for the GAC to accept the proposal and to submit this proposal to the U.S. Congress. As you can see, the GAC finished this task before other supporting organizations such as the GNSO or the CCNSO during the Marrakesh meeting. And this is all I have to tell you. This is a very short and brief summary. This is the result of very intensive and heated debates. And in general terms, this is what happened. So if you have any question or further comments, I'm here to answer those questions. Thank you. Humberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you very much, Olgan, for your presentation. I think it was a very clear presentation. This is very simple, so I will give the floor to the audience for questions. Olga Cavalli speaking. I see that you were not listening me well, so perhaps I might need to repeat something. Let me know if that is the case. Humberto speaking. Alejandro Pisante would like to take the floor. Alejandro Pisante, go ahead, please.
This is Alejandro Pisante for the record and running a quick audio check. Yes, we can hear you. Alejandro Pisante speaking. Olga, were all the GAC representatives included there, all the governments were represented? Olga Cavalli speaking. I don't get your question. Alejandro Pisante speaking. All GAC representatives are duly accredited by their government and they need to present their credentials before the GAC, correct? Olga Cavalli speaking. I don't know what you mean when you say credentials. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. An official document that accredits your status as an official government representative. Olga speaking. Yes, of course, but it is not the same type of accreditation that you, as you would have in the case of an embassy in a country. There is a different degree of formality. For example, we do have people coming from the regulatory sector, people coming from ministries, from foreign ministries, so the level of formality is not that strict. Humberto Carrasco speaking. Alejandro, is that the end of your question? Would you like to take the floor again? Alejandro Pisanti speaking. No, not for the time being. Thank you. Humberto Carrasco speaking. So if anybody else would like to take the floor for any further question. Olga Cavalli speaking. If I may, Humberto? Humberto speaking. Yes, go ahead, Olga. Olga speaking. I believe that the most important part of this process was the fact that there were a lot of participants engaged, and this came to the fore in the Dublin meeting. And the core was to maintain the GAC's decision-making power, which to my mind was crucial. That is, not to fully agree with the bylaw amendment, because this is an amendment of the ICANN bylaws. We're not speaking about the GAC internal rules of procedure, but we're speaking about the ICANN bylaws, where it is explicitly stated that, or the way in which a group has to engage in a decision-making process within the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, which does not apply to other groups. So I believe that the fact that countries wanted to maintain internally within the GAC their decision-making power was something interesting, and we were able to discuss that position within the GAC. We engaged in very intense discussions, but with a very important democratic spirit. And if I may, Humberto, I would like to add that not all the countries agreed on Recommendation 11, we didn't find any hurdles or obstacles that prevented the proposal's submission to the NTIA and to the United States Congress. So this did not hinder the process going forward. Humberto Carrasco speaking. Alejandro, you have the floor, and thank you, Olga. Humberto Carrasco speaking. Alejandro, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. My apologies. Yes, Alejandro Pisanti for the record. I have the impression that Olga is referring to a rule that has to do with the fact that the GAC has always had an asymmetrical role in terms of representation and has always claimed that role. Therefore, the interpreter apologizes, but Mr. Pisandi's audio is choppy on the Spanish line. Alejandro Pisanti is still taking the floor. So the GAC has had an asymmetrical role that has been evolving progressively and increasing progressively. For example, the GAC has to receive a certain type of replies or specific replies, and this mechanism, this new mechanism, aims at preventing capture or GAC capture so that a small number of governments within the GAC wouldn't be able to modify or amend rules according to their best interest, for example, changing consensus to supermajority or any type, other type of voting that would lead into a capture within the GAC. That's why these new rules were led within this multi-stakeholder model in terms of accountability. Olga Cavalli speaking. If I may, I would like to take the floor. Thank you, Umberto. This is Olga Cavalli for the record. Thank you, Alejandro. You have very well described the position of certain countries, but I would like to speak about the position of other countries within the GAC. Hence, we did not reach consensus. First of all, the GAC never wanted to work on the basis of consensus. We always wanted to avoid the following. In some cases, a country, a single country, opposed or held an opposing view, and in Alejandro's words, we saw that there was a capture of the situation in the hands of a specific government because given the lack of consensus, then we were not able to provide our advice to the ICANN board. There are many ways in which capture can take place and many ways in which capture can be construed. It all depends on the viewpoint or the perspective you apply. We can also say that the definition of consensus proposed in this new document also entails the risk of a country deciding on something that the majority does not want. I do not agree with Alejandro in that the GAC has a prominent position. The multi-stakeholder model defined in Tunis in 2005 and are redefined later on, for example, in the Net Mundial meeting, entails that all the stakeholders are on an equal level playing field. However, the GAC does not participate in the NOMCOM, for instance. No GAC representative can be a voting member of the ICANN board. We have only one non-voting member within the ICANN board, currently our chair, Mr. Thomas Snyder. So we, to be honest, see that, or many participants in the GAC do not see that we are on an equal footing within the multi-stakeholder model vis-a-vis other groups that have many more opportunities to participate. Thank you. Umberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you, Olga. I believe Alejandro was asking for the floor again, but now he lowered his... Oh, no, no, he's asking for the floor again, I believe. Umberto Carrasco speaking. Please be brief because Leon Sanchez is waiting to give his presentation. Alejandro Pisante speaking. In 2001 or 2003, there was a very important reform or review within ICANN, and the GAC had the opportunity to appoint members by means of electoral procedures, regional procedures, etc., so that the GAC would appoint members in the ICANN board. And the GAC decided that that was not relevant for the GAC because it entailed unacceptable risks for the GAC, because the moment the GAC shifted from an advisory role to being a full-fledged member of the ICANN board, then the GAC would have all the legal responsibilities that entail even being taken to court in some instances. That's why this does not happen deliberately. Of course, I am very pleased to hear the defense of government and the fact that certain people insist on holding an asymmetrical position within the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Thank you, Umberto, for giving me the floor again. Umberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you, everyone. And now I give the floor to Leon Sanchez so that we can listen to his presentation. Thank you, Umberto. This is Leon Felipe Sanchez for the record. And I would like to welcome the new Lacralo leadership. This is your first call, so rest assured that you can count on our support and help. Olga already mentioned certain details that I will be touching upon. I would like to give you an overview of our current status. As of today, the proposal for the CCWG proposal for the Workstream 1 is complete. As you may recall, this task entailed two work streams. We focused on completing work stream one, and we are already in the planning phase of work stream two, and we are focusing on the implementation of work stream one as well. In Marrakesh, the chartering organizations, the ESOs and ACs, approved the CCWG proposal, and the CWG also confirmed that the dependencies in terms of accountability had been addressed. I am being told there is an echo on my line. However, my computer speakers are muted, so maybe the echo is coming from somebody else's computer or line. So, as I was saying, we received, or the CCWG proposal was approved by the chartering organizations, and the proposal in turn was presented to the ICANN board so that they would submit it to the NTIA. This doesn't mean that the transition process is over, of course. The moment the proposal was submitted, another process began. That is a process that the U.S. government has to implement in order to review the proposal, to assess it in different stages, and finally approve the proposal. Certain arrangements or actions have been agreed upon regardless of the U.S. government approval or rejection of the proposal. That is, changes in terms of accountability and transparency that fall within the implementation stage. And that implementation will take place regardless of the proposal approval. We are already working on the drafting of the new ICANN bylaws comprising these 12 recommendations that are part of the CCWG final report. We had 203 participants in our group. Somehow balanced geographic diversity, however, with very low participation from Latin America and Africa. So clearly, that means our region was not fully represented throughout the stages of this process. Clearly, this can be corrected or amendment. We are beginning work stream two, and a call for volunteers has been posted, and clearly this call for volunteers is open to anyone willing to join the process. If you need any further information, please feel free to contact me. I will be more than happy to help you, and so will staff in charge of these calls and mailing lists. We had observers. We exchanged more than 12,400 email messages. We held conference calls and meetings totaling over 400 hours, working hours. If we time that or multiply that times 203 members and observers, this translates into a significant and unprecedented workload within ICANN's multi-stakeholder model. These 205 calls and 400 working hours. Clearly, this was no easy project. There was plenty of friction at some point, and a lot of negotiation was entailed. But at the end of the day, the community understood that a compromise was needed. And here, or in this regard, Olga's presentation on behalf of the GAC is relevant. The GAC did not reject the proposal, but expressed their reservations in terms of recommendation 11, as Olga already explained. This recommendation has to do with the GAC's participation within this new empowered community. Let me now give you an overview of the 12 recommendations contained in the final report submitted to the NTIA for review and eventually approval. First of all, we have a recommendation that has to do with the empowered community, that is this new body to be created together with the SO and ACs. This empowered community will remain sort of dormant, but it will be called upon whenever necessary. Also, we would like to see ICANN's structure not to remain unchanged, let's say. The structure will be as is today. It will remain as is today. The only difference is that if it were necessary to exercise any of the powers of this new empowered community, then the body with the legal powers to exert these powers will be this empowered community. Then, in order or in terms of participation within the empowered community, if stakeholders did not explicitly refuse to participate within this new body, then they are taken or considered as within this new body. Olga was mentioning that the GAC will be deciding on a case-by-case basis in terms of decision-making. By default, for the CCWG report, the GAC is a participant or one more participant in this new body. Clearly, the GAC may express reservations or may decide not to participate in certain cases. The SSAC and the RSSAC explicitly stated their willingness, not to join this body. They want to remain as advisory committees. Recommendation 2 has to do with an escalation process. I'm not sure about the term in Spanish. And the objective of this escalation process is to put in place a procedure in order to avoid the final stage, that is the decision-making stage within the empowered community, and also as a final stage, any legal action to be taken by the empowered community. So prior to this, we have a process or procedure by which community members can request this discussion and escalation process to address policy issues or ICANN's activities. Then we reviewed ICANN bylaws, and they were classified into ordinary bylaws and fundamental bylaws. The latter, the fundamental bylaws, unlike the ordinary bylaws, require the affirmative vote of the community to be amended, prior to being amended. Today, bylaws or bylaw amendments involve a public comment period initiated by the board, and then the board considers the public comments received and proceeds unilaterally to amend the bylaws. So the board has that decision-making power. With these changes, the amendment